Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the Drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Zeoli.
AOC rips John Fetterman for his Jerry Springer jab after a catfight breaks out in the House of Representatives. It is good to watch. Man, it's fun. A lot of people outraged over what Harrison Butker had to say during his commencement speech. And it turns out the Biden Department of Justice is trying to obfuscate Congress. Shocking. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is our 5 o'clock happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We are streaming it live on YouTube for you. And we're glad you're here. Today we remember our buddy Sid Weiss. He passed away a few days ago. Today is his memorial service. And he is a great friend of the show. Great part of the Zeoli Army. We miss him very much. And I did a tribute to him and actually the entire Zeoli Army at the start of the show today at 3 o'clock. So if you missed it, please go back and take a listen to it. The podcast or the Odyssey Rewind feature, either one. But here to talk about some other things with me right now, he is the author of the forthcoming book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. And we're going to have an event with him very, very soon. He is Dr. Wilfred Riley. Hello, Professor. How are you today?
Doing well. Good to be back on the show.
Did you like that? Did you watch that congressional catfight?
Yeah, I watched the video of it. I mean, it really was just, it was giving Maury Povich, is how one of my students would put it. I mean, just there. And it was really diverse, too. I mean, you had MTG, you had AOC, you had all the major ethnicities. They're all women, of course. They're wearing a tight skirt. They were screaming at each other. I mean, it was very funny. I mean, we didn't expect that clip from Congress.
No, and I love the
talk about
the one...
my eyelashes. How about your body? Like, it was one of the funniest things I've seen in a while.
Matt, play a little bit more of it for us. We gotta hear more of it. DeSantis.
Hold on, give me one second. All right, here it is. I'd like to know if any of the Democrats on this committee are employing Judge Mershon's daughter.
Now, skip ahead to a little bit of the fighting. Just skip ahead a little bit to some of the cat fight.
That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings hurt?
Her words down.
Aww.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play,
baby girl.
We are going to move, and we're going to take your words down.
Thank you. Second that motion.
Oh, that's outstanding, Wilfred Riley. It's outstanding.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. I mean, now the funny thing about this is that they're all playing different roles. Like, MTG might be the closest to a working class background. As I understand, she's a successful businesswoman that owns a few gyms, but she came from a working class community. AOC is from Scarsdale. I don't know why she puts on a kind of black as opposed to a Puerto Rican accent if she's going to pretend to do this. Like, I mean, if we're really just talking about it, like, she should do more like an East Coast, like, ethnic white or like Spanish thing. And the other one, Caldwell, went to law school, I guess. So, like, to some extent, like, these people are all like congressmen or senators, so they're all pretending with this crap, like, oh, baby girl, you don't know where I'm from. I mean, you're from Washington, D.C. You're from like the Tacoma apartments across from the Capitol. Like, it's so there's an element of just absurdity to it. But I mean, this gets into a real thing in the USA. I talked about this briefly on social media, but it's kind of the idea of playing down. So in American society, and this began in the black community, but you now see it everywhere, there's the idea of like playing down, like looking cool. So in most countries, like at a job interview session at a fast food restaurant or something, you'll see people show up in like clean polo shirts, and the point is you're playing up. You want to look respectable. You want to look like where you're going to be in the next 5 years, supervisor right. of that place, going to college. In the States, you see people whose dads are dentists and lawyers, you know, walking around in Wu-Tang Clan hoodies and so on. And this was kind of the ultimate example of that, where you have the Congress people talking about each other's like sexual features, like, oh, it's your butch body. Like, it's hilarious. But there's also an element of just absurdity to it. Like, why is this part of our culture? Why are we electing these people? So on down the line.
Right. Yeah. Play that part, Matt, where she gets into the your bleach blonde hair and your guy. Play that part.
Who's
it's me,
Miss Crockett.
I'm just curious, just to better understand your ruling. If someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad built butch body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?
A what now?
And Comer's response, Wilfred Riley, is just great. A what now?
Yeah, the thing to remember about this, and I'm sure guys get in fights sometimes, and they're capable of being just as stupid, but like the rest of this committee is these dignified, like, white and African-American men in Brooks Brothers suits that are just sitting there through this. Like, what the hell? Like, am I going to be in the background of this video? So, like, the committee chair is there with a gavel while all this is going on. So, like, when the woman's like, oh, so I can comment on her bleach blonde, like, the chair is like, what? I mean, I suppose so, ma'am, the lady representative. You know, so it's definitely not something you expected. But, I mean, obviously, it's gone pretty viral. And, yeah, people are having fun with it. Like, John Fetterman posted a link to the Jerry Springer show in, like, a Rolling Stone headline and said he wanted to apologize to Jerry Springer for making fun of him before. And, you know, this kind of thing. So it's definitely going to be in the news for a day or two.
And then you saw AOC took a shot at him for his comment. Did you see that?
Yeah, and this actually was the thing that annoyed me the most, because this is something you see a lot from these people, where on a college campus you'll have violence, like a fraternity brawl or maybe a wild party that has some mutual sexuality going on, something like just normal life, but an extreme version of it initiated. And then you'll see people try to play off their role in that by claiming that they were victims because they fall in some kind of minority group. So that's what AOC is doing right here. Like, she's saying, oh, so you thought this was both sides, huh? I guess you don't understand how racism and misogyny work. You know, I am a minority woman. And this is almost verbatim, by the way. Like, I am a minority woman, so I am not a bully. I am responding to bullies. I am a bully stopper. And, you know, bro, like, come on. Like, sometimes white guys start fights, sometimes black guys start fights. Like, what this breaks down to, and this is actually important for everyone to understand, is just, like, I can do this, but you can't. So you hear this all the time. Like, the classic urban version is African-American friend says, hey, that's a little racist. Don't be racist. And you say, well, that's kind of fair, but you're fairly racist. Everyone talks in this fashion. The response isn't, well, I'll stop it too. It's, well, I can't be racist. AOC's just doing a very updated version of that. Like, no, even though my girl started the argument, you see she can't because she's a victim of racism and misogyny. And, like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, the other person involved is a working class woman. So, like, wouldn't she be a victim of misogyny too? It's the magic word. So once the magic word is said, you're not supposed to respond to it. You're just supposed to, like, fall under the spell. That's how magic words work.
This is a clip. I don't think anyone's heard this yet. This is Chairman Comer saying he has two hearing aids and he can't understand any of what is happening right now. Take a listen.
Her second set of personal remarks attacking another member.
Who?
Chairman Comer.
Because you all cannot seem
I have an amendment at
to
the desk
apply
in this
the rules of the committee.
Stop.
We have to do this every time.
Okay, I'm recognized. Look, I'm recognized. Order, I'm going to go ahead and start talking.
Look, I know. Look, I don't know if you've noticed it. I have two hearing aids. I'm very deaf. I'm not understanding. Everybody's yelling. I'm doing the best I can.
It's just, I love it. I don't know. I love it. I mean, they do this stuff in England and Canada where they just yell at each other all the time. And I mean, maybe C-SPAN would get better ratings if more of this stuff happened. I don't know. But your point about misogyny and racism and sexism, and because that's where AOC went, of course. You know, she went down the road of, well, I was defending against sexism and misogyny, and you, John Fetterman, you can't.
But they're all women.
Right.
Yeah, no, I do think there's a bit of a difference between this and, like, Prime Minister's questions. Like, Prime Minister's questions is like two British knights shouting back and forth. Like, you must understand that the construction of this railway was not accomplished using public funds. That is a lie, sir. You know, whereas this, like, the blonde and the black chick yelling at each other about who's ugly. I mean, that's a little different. Like, yeah, come on. Like, we all see the difference. You know, so, like, in the USA, I don't think that we're moving toward a classier but more aggressive kind of, like, 1980s German model or something like that. I think that we need to control kind of the hood slide in our culture. We're seeing there's this idea that, like, being authentic and revolutionary is good. So when something comes along that's seen as kind of ghetto or that's seen as, I mean, this is the case with punk, too. This is the case with skater. Like, it's seen as kind of original. It's something that people who live in, like, squats with no electricity might do. There's an attraction to that because we're a democracy. We're the rebels that came here and beat the aristocrats. And that's good, but you have to keep it under control. Like, you don't want congressmen getting in fistfights. Especially female ones. Like, I mean, you know, you don't want a video of that circulating around the world. We've got, you know, like, nuclear wars to win in 10 years. We have real stuff to do.
All right, let's we'll switch gears for a moment here. I'm wondering if you saw this piece over at Reason.com. I imagine you did, since I know you've written for them before. It's a piece by Billy Binion. Black people overwhelmingly want to maintain or increase police presence. They also want better police. The dominant media narrative has obscured much of the nuance here. We've talked about this before, you and I. We've talked about this. It's a recent study published in the Journal of Criminal Justice and provides a necessary reminder that, among other things, people are complicated. The general topic at hand, how do Black Americans feel about policing? So let's talk about that, Dr. Wilford Riley.
Yeah, so I think there are two things here. First of all, something that every right-leaning political consultant, I wouldn't call myself specifically a modern Republican, but every right-leaning political consultant, including me, knows, is that there's big potential in the Black and Hispanic communities for the elephant. Like, that's no secret. Like, when you look at attitudes toward the transgender community, toward gay marriage, whatever your personal opinion might be there, toward military service, obviously great Black and Southern white representation, blah, blah, blah. You find that minorities tend to be pretty conservative, that a lot of ideas like benevolent sexism don't even really make sense to us, like that it's prejudice to open the door for your girl. Like, you don't need to hear a 40-minute explanation from a feminist friend about that. It's just sort of gibberish. So why don't minorities vote for the right? It's an interesting question. But while we're discussing it, yeah, like every time you poll the Black community about anything other than, if we're being blunt, welfare benefits, they're going to fall on the right. So, yeah, like ever since the start of Black Lives Matter, we've seen black people have been pretty pro-police. You know, a lot of them think, you know, Michael Brown, at least, if not George Floyd, kind of got what he deserved, want to see more cops on the street. The problem with this, though, I actually think the issue with that article, like when they said, but they want to see better cops, there always is this caveat, because most African-Americans right now still are voting for the Dems and are kind of susceptible to some of the things that are said about racism. So the idea is that the police right now are still engaging in a lot of unprovoked killings, this sort of thing. Like, I read through that piece, and the things that they were saying, like you need to triple police training, would make it really difficult to recruit officers. So I'm sympathetic with the first part. You need more cops. I don't know how I feel about the second part, which is that we need fabulously better trained, much higher paid cops. You hear the same thing with teachers. And the problem is that there aren't that many people right now that are lining up to be police officers or to be inner city teachers. So are you going to get more if you require a much more rigorous training process? And how does that work with other stuff that people on the left, including the black community, tend to want, like getting rid of tests? So I tend to think you can't be too utopian, like the perfect is the enemy of the good. Like, I think cops are doing a fairly good B-plus job right now. But the basic finding that, yeah, most people in cities, including black Americans, want more police, it's good to see that in a major journal. That's been the case for years, yeah.
Yeah, but you're right, Bill. I mean, they this notion of raising the bar on cops and training, and then you start to go down other roads, too, where they need to de-escalate. I don't really think the job of a cop is to de-escalate a situation. I think you get into a very, very dangerous world when you start to say that is their job. Their job is law enforcement. The other problem, too, is when you start thinking about, well, they should have, you know, psychologists on standby. And you know, I get it. I mean, there are times when people are having serious psychotic breaks from reality and, you know, the cop winds up shooting the person, killing them, and you know, people always ask, you know, could that have been avoided and that sort of thing. But the problem is those are moments. They're not the norm. And when they happen, the tension in those moments is so high that I don't know if a psychologist standing there would be able to really do anything. I mean, again, it sounds good in theory, but like, would it really actually work?
No, I mean, I think one of the advantages of the kind of old, cruel, mostly male leaders like Andrew Jackson standing there in his military uniform, you know, is that they were able to make decisions. They weren't always good decisions, but they were quickly made, and they were usually, like I said earlier, B-plus calls. And, like, someone has to do that. Like, I'm sure we know or are supposed to pretend that it's a great tragedy if a sociopath with 17 previous criminal convictions gets shot by a cop. Like, theoretically, sometimes that could have been avoided. At the same time, we have to say that it's pretty reasonable for a sworn officer to shoot someone who's running toward him with a butcher knife.
Yeah.
And we can't spend $10 million per officer per year to prevent that from happening. Like, I mean, I've worked with the unions in college, as I suspect you have, and, like, they're pretty brutal. Like, they give you a breakdown of what your body's worth. Like, yeah, kid, if you lose a foot, $40,000. So there's a whole field, the actuarial profession, that estimates the worth of a human life. Like, a common valuation for an adult man or woman is $10 million. And the assumption is that you're worth $100,000 per year, which, frankly, most people don't earn, and you're going to live 100 years. And it's awful to put it that way, but that seems pretty reasonable to me. Mm-hmm. So when you calculate whether building a bridge would cost two lives, for example, you're essentially calculating, are we willing to take this staggering $20 million cost if the bridge is going to be worth $1 billion and it's going to connect two neighborhoods in a way that saves, you know, X amount worth of commuter time and prevents X number of suicides from the older, higher bridge and so on? And you can say yes or no to that question. You just have to have someone that's willing to be the yes or no guy. I think that's a real empirical question you can answer. I think I just demonstrated that it is. So, I mean, basically the thing with the cops, you can't try to refine police departments to the point where you'd eliminate every interaction with a citizen that could cause someone to die. Like, we've already got police shootings down 50-60% from the 70s or 80s. I'm actually pretty good with that. Like, if we lost 50 more cops a year and we got police shootings down 10% more, we might save 100 criminals, lose 50 cops, but I don't think that's a good trade-off. Everything we'd be talking about here is a trade-off, not a solution.
Yeah, and you'd have less people who want to do the job of being a cop. So then the whole idea of getting better cops is diminished by that, because then people turn around and go, I don't want to become a cop. It's an incredibly dangerous job, and no, I don't. And so then you have another disincentive there to recruit good people. It's another unintended consequence of that too. And I think too, as the media loves to talk about this like defund the police crap and everything like this. I mean, most of the people who say those things are, let's face it, white liberals who live in places mm-hmm. that don't have a lot of crime. I mean, it's not a lot of people in West Philadelphia who are coming on TV to say defund the police. If anything, they're saying we need more cops in this neighborhood.
Yeah, I remember that, actually. Like, I lived in the south side of Chicago as a younger guy, and then I moved to the east side of nearby Aurora, which is no joke either. And I remember in the late 90s and early 00s when kind of the law came back and police patrols became regular and that sort of thing. And you'd see the cars driving down the streets, and you'd see the guys of all ethnicities in Aurora, black, Hispanic, Eastern European, kind of get off the corners, and you'd see older people start walking around more, this kind of thing. And as a kid, I viewed it as kind of annoying, but looking back on it, you realize how effective that was in terms of almost returning civilization to an area. And you remember the things people said about it and the fact that they were almost totally positive. So, yeah, like the defund the police movement, the locus of the defund the police movement, at least in my mind, was the New York Times. Mm-hmm. Like, the New York Times ran a back page op-ed called "Yes, We Mean Literally Defund the Police." So, first of all, it's not true that no one ever said that or no one ever said anything like that. That was the back page of the NYT. But right. Secondarily, that wasn't like a black community newspaper or something like that. Like, this was very much a liberal, upper-middle-class movement. But it's easier to say that when you have private security and you live in a doorman building and then you take a gated elevator up and there are five locks on your door and so on. Like, crime is probably not going to get to you.
Let me and a lot of Democrats too pretend like they said they never said it either, and they certainly did, and there's montages of that will haunt them for sure. Let me ask you this question. So recently, Judi Dench, the famous actress Judi Dench, Dame Judi Dench, she came out mm-hmm. and she said, "Trigger warnings ruin the experience for people." And she said, if you are that sensitive, maybe you shouldn't go to the movie, maybe you shouldn't go to the play. Like, enough already. And I'm glad she's saying that, because I have a real problem with the fact that, like, the latest thing now is they want to cancel Tinkerbell because Tinkerbell has, I don't know, body issues or something. I don't even know. It all gets so annoying. It's also funny, too, to watch trigger warnings when they say things like, "This contains smoking," like Casablanca. Like, how could it not contain smoking? It's Casablanca, you know? I don't need to be warned about that fact, and I don't think anybody in my house is going to start lighting up just because Rick is chain-smoking over the loss of the love of his life. I mean, but these trigger warnings definitely are more of a thing, and it's not just the warning. It's that they're also writing as if everything's a trigger warning. And you see that change a lot, too. And another observation I have, and this kind of goes to the point of what I think was another controversy, is what the football player said in his commencement speech when he talked about masculinity. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, guys should embrace masculinity. And I agree with him. And I think the latest Thor movie, Thor, the character who was supposed to be this, you know, the strongest Avenger and the guy who'd save the universe, turned into a joke, because now we have to mock men, particularly white men in movies and TV. We have to mock them and make them a joke, and the whole lie and narrative about toxic masculinity. So you see a reflection of that actually in entertainment, where it's, you know, the idea of a strong man or the guy being the hero or something like that. No way. That you can't have that anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I mean, so first of all, when you talk about trigger warnings, So there are two major points here. First of all, I would agree that trigger warnings are absolutely useless for any normal person, because what they describe are normal things that you're going to see in life. Like, if you're watching a movie targeted at adults, they're going to be war scenes, they're going to be sex scenes, because those are phases that you go through in life. If you're watching a horror movie, there's going to be a killer, there's going to be a villain. So the idea that you need to be warned to prepare for that is a level of pampering that's going to make you, at some level, pretty unsuited to do anything in reality. But I think there's a deeper point here, and it's really awkward to make this point, but, like, in life, you're going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, the average number of serious physical fights a guy gets in life is, like, 4. And you could describe those as felony assault if you wanted to. Rate for women is lower, but, like, 1 in 4 women will be sexually assaulted, which men have trouble processing. You know, a bunch of different things. Like, everyone, your parents are going to die. I mean, that's a blunt sentence. Your parents are going to die. Like,
yeah.
Everyone in life is going to encounter a bunch of traumas. Like, those three things that I just mentioned are incredibly common. And the point here isn't that everyone's broken. It's that almost no one is. The majority of people, when they encounter a serious trauma, take about 3 months to process it, and maybe go to therapy, maybe go to the dojo, and then go back on with their life. What we're doing with the youngest couple of generations of people, and I'm a man at 40, but I'm not just, like, blaming the kids here. This is a reality. There's a book about this right now, A. Schreier's Bad Therapy.
Mm-hmm.
We are taking things that are actually much less minor than the three things I described, like a massive brawl where a jaw gets broken. That's far less common with this new generation. And we are encouraging people to hold on to them for the rest of their life. And that's why you get this crazy nonsense, like someone called me the N-word, quote-unquote, which used to just be an insult you might hear before a fight. Not even the main course, as it were. But, I mean, someone called me this, and so I have been in therapy for 4 years. That is not a good way to go through life. Like, it's possible. I mean, think back to your first breakup. It's possible to make yourself miserable over complete BS. But the reality is that you can go through actual negative experiences. Probably 1 man in 10 that I know has been shot at in war. Mm-hmm. And you take your 6 months that you need to recover and then just go back to living. So the idea that you need a trigger warning to watch other people at war is crazy. No other generation of humans has ever been that weak. And we really need to stop this, or again, we're going to lose a war to China.
Yeah.
And the second point, just very briefly, because obviously it seems like you had something to say there, but, like, the masculinity thing, this is another one of those things where it's kind of awkward to say. It sucks to be impolite to women, our equal country people, and so on. But, like, the idea that men don't do anything, or, like, what does a man have to offer, is kind of crazy. We very often, when it comes to whites, when it comes to men, when it comes to the rich, we've been excessively impolite for such a long period of time that we've kind of forgotten what the case for the leading class is. And it's pretty strong. Like, in the case of men, I mean, men are 50% bigger than and twice as aggressive as women. Women are a little smarter, but we seem to be more innovative. So 92% of patents have a male inventor. I mean, men could argue that we built society, although women could argue the sexes tease each other that they gave birth to all the inventors. But that basic idea of masculinity, you're not a rapist, you're not a brute, but you build up those strengths. You build up your physical skills. You're a warrior, you're an athlete. You build up that intellectual skill in the mathematical science. You're an inventor, you're an innovator. That is obviously something to develop. And also, interestingly, that's what every adult businesswoman I've ever dated wants. So, like, the depressed male feminist type, there's probably a cyclical back and forth here, because women might say that they're interested in that, but they actually despise and cheat on that guy. And that creates another cycle where you have more confused men and women going forward. And that's where you wind up in a weird place where Thor is questioning whether he's bisexual and so on, and everyone just turns the TV off.
Well said. Well said, my friend. We will embrace our toxic masculinity for the weekend and go from there. But the only other point I'll add to that is, and then they take it into a policy realm, and this is where we start, and we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, so we don't have to rehash it, but they start going down the road of, well, toxic masculinity, rape culture, and then we have to crack down on all these men in college campuses, in which, in the case, we deny them due process, we put them through kangaroo courts. And so it's almost like everything that they say doesn't just have it's not just words. It also then eventually becomes policy, too. And the policy there makes men afraid and it makes men intimidated. And I worry about my son. I mean, my son, you know, he's a mixed-race boy. He's 9 years old. We adopted him, as you know, and he's my best friend. I love my son more than life. But I worry about his future as a man. You know, and in some ways, I mean, I guess I'm kind of happy that, you know, at least maybe since he's mixed race, like maybe he'll get a better shot. I hate to even say that, but
he's got a 50-50. Could go either way.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, I mean, and I talk about this with my friends who have boys and particularly the ones who have just like straight white kids. And they're really worried about their sons for the future. I mean, they're really nervous about what the future is going to be like for them. And it's a real concern.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the one thing I will say, though, is that as a minority in America, I've never felt that the country is particularly oppressive. Like, I mean, there used to be a fair amount of individual racism. You know, now whites are dealing with some of the same thing. But I mean, the effects, if you're competitive, have always been on the order of like 1 or 2%. Because it's against the law to do most of that stuff too publicly. I mean, my honest recommendation would be that if men feel discriminated against, just sue. You know, like, I think this is one of the things that I hate saying again. Like, I felt it was kind of ungentlemanly to point out, like, the strengths of men to women. Men traditionally haven't had to do that. Just like women don't sit around saying, hey, we're a little smarter than you guys. Like, so it's weird that we're in this awkward situation where you can't just say, well, obviously men and women are different and leave it at that. But, like, similarly, normally men and women have left each other equal spaces and kind of done their own thing. But if we're really in this arena now where everyone's demanding exactly equal rights in every space, if you're a guy and you're denied, you know, equal access to your opponent in a legal case, I mean, just go to court. Like every one of those Title IX kangaroo tribunals, you should just, if you lose, sue the college. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so I think guys are going to, you know, successfully demand their rights and so on down the line. I don't see a future of oppressed men. I mean, again, men are twice the size of women and vote. Like, I really don't see, like, men being beaten with whips and driven to the mines. Just the goal should be equality for both groups.
Well said. All right, my friend, have a great weekend. Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. It's coming out very soon. Pre-order it today. And our event with Wilfred Riley, hopefully we'll have a date to announce next week. Thanks for joining us, Prof. We appreciate it.
Boom. Always glad to come on. Bye.
All right. Bye.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour. On the Rich Cioli Show, brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center, grandhotelcapemay.com.
It is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, and we'll be back there on Friday, June 21st for our next live show. Join us, mark your calendar, I want to see you there. It's going to be a blast, we'll have a lot of fun, and if you missed my opening monologue I talked about, our buddy Sid Weiss, who we're remembering today, but also the community that is the Zioli Army and our Talk Radio 1210 WPHD family. So join us for that coming up on Friday, June 21st. And my buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, great guy, great friend, the master of dental implants, and he is my dentist. You know, we've been going to him for years. The whole family goes to him, Patrick, Claire, Reagan. I go to him. Bridget goes to him. Mama Zioli discovered him, and he is the master of dental implants. There's simply no one better. That's why for 10 years in a row, 10 consecutive years, his colleagues have named him a top dentist in New Jersey for that reason. So what are you waiting for? Go see Dr. Mike today. He has two offices to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, right over the bridge. VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. He's a great guy. He's the master of dental implants, and he'll give you the smile of your dreams. Dr. Mike is also, too, great music playing in the office, great people who work for him, and whether it comes to, whether it's dental implants or any other complicated dental industry implant that you need or dental procedure, it's worth getting a second opinion from Dr. Mike Venaria, and it's worth crossing the bridge. Trust me, you don't want to go to the closest dentist, you want to go to the best, and that's Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike Venaria, VanariaDental.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the only show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about bleached blonde hair and that bob that needs some work and fake eyelashes? Jimmy Failla has all those things going for him and more.
I'm actually not wearing my extensions right now, just so everybody's clear. Hello.
He is, of course, the host of Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla. He's also the host of the nationally syndicated 150 station strong Fox Across America. And he is also the guy who just got retweeted, reposted, re-Instagrammed by the president of the United States of America, Donald Trump. You've had quite a day, my friend.
Yeah, no, pretty rad to get, you know, posted by Trump. And I also got MySpaced by Biden, which is nice. Wow.
Did he send you a CompuServe email?
Yeah, it was actually, he sent me a fax, and it was nice. The fax is actually still coming in. It's beeping. So excuse me if there's a beeping sound. Pretty funny, though, right?
No, I mean, we played it earlier in the show. It's a great song. It's hysterical. And when I saw it on Trump's Instagram that he posted it as his story, I went, wait a second. I know that. And then I saw that you tweeted out. I mean, that's a big freaking deal, buddy.
Yeah, yo. I mean, it's nuts to be, you know, knowing that the FBI is now spying on both of us, because you went to his rally, as we've discussed. It's like one of us always has something on the other until he doesn't. Like, you've been on an FBI watch list for a week. I've only been on one for a few hours. So it's a big deal for both of us. Let's be clear.
And also, we both have vowels at the end of our name, so there's a good chance the FBI is listening anyway. Let's be honest. Come on.
Yeah, we were already... That's a good point. But yeah, it was funny. And you know what? Honestly, Trump should be leaning into the stuff I post and we do on our show. Because, and I do mean this, the side at this point, these both of these politicians have been in the public eye for a long time, so everybody knows who they are. So this election, it actually is going to be decided by which side is cooler. And the right is cooler right now. We're not canceling people. You know, we're not calling for a jihad against Israel. You know, we're doing, you know, pretty agreeable things. You know, the people on the other side, you know, charging you $90,000 a year for a camping lesson. You know, that's expensive at these Ivy League schools. And they look irate. They look agitated. They look like a grievance movement. So if Trump just sticks to song parodies the rest of the way, me and you got a cabinet position coming.
Listen, buddy, I love it. We might even get a driver out of the deal, which I think is fantastic. We deserve it, at the very least. I mean, you were a driver. So for you to get a driver, that is just the ultimate. That's when you know you've arrived.
Can I tell you something? No. What I want is, and this now that you brought it full circle for me, what I want is he needs to win and I need to drive the beast.
Oh, boom. And this way, when he tries to grab the steering wheel, you can elbow him.
Well, no, there'll be a partition. Because it's like, I'm going to have it arranged taxi style. So he'd have to slide the window open first if he wanted to reenact that never happened story that Cassidy Hutchinson lied about.
But I do think that the next parody you may want to consider making is Beast Force One, where the president says, "Get out of my car!" And, you know, and just starts throwing Secret Service agents out.
Love it.
You got a big show tomorrow night. Fox News Saturday night is crushing it. We're up to like 2 million people a week now watching it. What I love about the show, and I'm not just saying this because I want to be on it again, I love about the show is that you always have beautiful people on there. And then, like, some schlub in the middle of, like, two really attractive women, which is a smart strategy.
Yeah. Well, if you like that aesthetic, you're really going to love tomorrow night's show, huh? I mean, man.
There is nothing else like it anywhere. And I mean that sincerely. There's nothing else like it. Like, it's actually a keg party. You say this all the time. Be a Republican, be a Democrat, just don't be a D. And you know what we mean by D. And you just have fun for an hour. Like, you actually have fun. And you make politics fun, but it's not just politics. You talk about a lot of other things that aren't just politics, which is good because it's Saturday night. We could all use a friggin' break. And let's face it, guys like Colbert and others have sabotaged what used to be a ritual for America, which is laughing a little bit before they went to bed. And they've sabotaged that with politics.
I know. Imagine, like, wanting to go to bed angry. Don't they tell you that in marriage, like, you're never supposed to go to bed angry?
Yeah, right.
Like, well, no one told that to our late-night hosts. They're trying to send you to bed mad. It's so, it's such a dereliction of duty on their part. And we're doing the other thing, because this is what happened to me, Zioli, and it's still new in this little beer story of a life I'm living right now. I still care. And I want to be able to look back on having this show and knowing I used it as a source of good. Now, again, I might be two contracts away from not agreeing with any of this. I might be on my third wife, also named Jen. You know, I'm just going to keep trading them in for younger Jennies. That's the plan. You know, George Foreman had all the kids named George. I want three wives named Jen. It's like a menudo. They get 20 years of pop. You know what I'm saying? But they got to stay in that same age thing. And but I give back to the world. Like, you can forgive me for whatever my shortcomings were if a few million people a week have a better life because of me, no?
Listen, you know, you get older and they stay the same age. It's perfect. We've heard this before. It works out well. By the way,
who did I hear that from? I believe it was Prince Andrew who said, "I kid."
Man, if only we had made jokes about that before it got cut. So the thing about it is that your line about how never go to bed angry is the reason why my wife has not slept in 3 years. Just so you know, for the record.
Good job.
Jimmy Fallon, can we, DeSantis, let's play the song that has now gone ultra, uber, mega, MAGA viral when the former and future president posted this on Instagram. The graphics, the video is hysterical. Just imagine Biden falling upstairs, and you can really get a big picture of it. But I love this, and now it's an international sensation since Trump posted it everywhere. Take a listen.
Yep.
He's an old guy, has dementia.
can't lead us, and the country is screwed. Tell some big lies. Barely speaks English, sniffs children, and their mom's hair too. Goes the wrong way when he leaves his speeches. Gets lost each day in the White House yard. All the Dems say that we should re-elect him. How can he run when walking is hard? And Joe keeps
falling, yeah, he keeps falling.
Keeps falling.
Keeps falling, yeah, he keeps falling. Yeah,
and Joe
keeps falling, yeah, he keeps falling.
Keeps falling.
Keeps falling, yeah, he keeps falling.
Well done. Outstanding. Outstanding. You probably got to add, you got to maybe do a second edition where he talks to dead people. You know, like he's having lunch with Churchill and tea with Margaret Thatcher. You know.
Well, can I just jump in? Because I do want to thank Trump for waiting until after I visited the White House to tweet that video.
So you weren't detained by the White House Service?
Yeah, I was at the White House two Fridays ago. I would have got shot. Two Fridays ago, they let us in. I interviewed Peter Doocy and walked around the premises. And, you know, that's I was there to interview Doocy and then try to outrun Commander the dog. And it was a good hang.
The thing about it is Commander, of course, you know, has sniffed Hunter's cocaine. So it's Cocaine White House Dogs. That's the next movie that's going to be a huge summer blockbuster, buddy. We got to work on that.
Good job.
You got a couple things coming up. First of all, you got a comedy show at Red Bank, New Jersey, which is not far at all from our listening area. It's an easy hop skip, and there's great pizza up that way, too. So when is that?
That is June 22nd, a Saturday night, June 22nd at the Count Basie Theater, a venue that is far too classy for my act, but I'm going to show up, give it the there's going to be a lot of Fox talent there because, as you know, a lot of them reside in New Jersey.
Yep.
So it's kind of like a comedy petting zoo. I'll do my jokes, and then the people you want to pet will be in the audience, so you can come fondle some Fox talent and watch me do my act. I know that has appeal. That has appeal to a lot of people listening, but it's June 22nd. It's Saturday night, and it's going to be a banger. I'm actually fired up because you don't know this. Like, I haven't even announced this on my TV show, but we're doing Fox is doing a mega comedy event that's going to be me and three comics you've really heard of, like on a Chappelle level. I'm emceeing it and bringing on these three acts, and that's coming. And basically, at the Count Basie, we're going to be filming that because that's going to be the set I do for this mega special. So that's the film. That's the set that we film for TV, edit, and then legal throws out 93% of it. Okay, right. So you will 7% of it will make it into the actual special. But if you're there that night, you know you had a hand in making it.
Two things. Number one, I'd love to come, but Dana Perino has a restraining order against me, so that may be difficult. Secondly, if I don't get tickets to that, you're dead to me. Third, we'll be in Cape May doing a live show Friday, June 21st. So here's my suggestion to the Zeoli Army. You come down to Cape May, you watch the show, you stay in Cape May, you jump on the Garden State Parkway, you head north to Red Bank, and you watch Jimmy Fallon do the comedy show. Boom, you make an epic weekend out of it.
Do you want me to make? I'll make you a deal with the Zeoli Army, like for real. If they buy tickets to the show, I've got to be able to quantify this. Okay, I shouldn't say we have to sell it out because it's June 20. It's a good enough theater, and it's a Saturday in June. Yeah. Now, if the Zeoli Army buys 100 tickets, is that fair? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Fair? Tell me what a fair number is. 100, 200, what's fair? 100?
100 okay. It's a no-brainer.
If the Zeoli Army buys 100 tickets, okay, I'll come to your Cape May event. I'll come to your Cape May event the night before.
Wow.
What do you think of that? So I'll come hang, whatever you need me to do, co-host, chip in, whatever I got to do, be fluffer. If you want me to go back to my old job, that's fine.
Yeah.
And, under the table's good. If they move a 100 tickets, I'll do your event the night before too. Is that fair?
I think it's a great deal, and then we, you know, it'll be a great hang. We can hang on the air together at the Grand Hotel. We can hang after the show ends. I mean, we'll be drunk by the time the show ends anyway, obviously.
No, but I would do that.
I think the question is, will the Zioli Army step up? So how can they get tickets? That's the question, because right now everybody's wondering the same thing.
Are they, though? FoxAcrossAmerica.com, my website, my radio show website. If you go to FoxAcrossAmerica.com, you can get tickets. And now you're buying a twofer, because you're buying a ticket to the Count Basie, and you're buying a ticket to assist me into an Uber at the end of the night, Friday, June the 21st. you get two experiences. You get to lend me $20, and you get to come to the show. Because I'm going to be, if I go to KBAM, I'm going to be in bad shape, because I'll be off. I never get off. So it'll be an Amish rum springer. You know, where I get to leave the farm and try out technology and all the other vices. So the Zioli Army, the challenge has been issued. FoxAcrossAmerica.com. We are 100 tickets away from me getting a face tattoo in Cape May, New Jersey.
Well, you still are the Admiral of the Zioli Navy, so it's fitting that we'll be at the Jersey Shore for two nights in a row. I love it. And I'll even double down and say we may have to get a bus for the Zioli Army to go up to Red Bank together. And a bus, by a bus, I mean a way for everybody to drink pregame on their way to the comedy show.
Yo, this is even better now. So if you guys get the tickets, right, because as the cabbie, I'll drive the bus. That would be so funny. I don't really mean that. Do not hold me to that. That would be amazing. And I drive the bus.
It's outstanding. All right, who's coming up tomorrow night in Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Fallon, 10 p.m. on the Fox News Network? Who are your guests this week?
Oh, hot damn. Abby Hornacek, Belle of the Cable News Ball, Fox Nation, multimedia sensation. Gina Brion came in second on Last Comic Standing. Should have came in first. She's a brilliant Latino comedian from the Bronx. The Zioli, Rich Zioli in the center seat. That's a thing.
Am I in? I
was told that you're going to be there. If you're being sarcastic and feigning surprise, fine. But you better be there. I have a big problem. And Rich Voss, comedy legend, Rich Voss is coming by.
Yeah.
To go one-on-one, hang with the panel. And we're playing a classy game called Bail Bond Bingo. I'm sure they didn't tell you that. But it's the kind of highbrow programming, you know, our viewers have become accustomed to. So we're going to be playing a bingo game based on, you know, guy makes love to a hot pocket, stuff like that.
Does the winner get the yellow jacket? Because I am the reigning yellow jacket champion on Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Fallon. So
that's not nothing. Right. Anybody can win it. The nice thing about the yellow jacket, everybody's eligible. You know, I've seen my mom win it, and she wasn't even a panelist. And that was, again, obviously just because it was cheaper than buying her Mother's Day gift. But I've seen this go down a lot of different ways. But I wouldn't underestimate Zioli, because you did steal defeat. Actually, you stole victory out of the jaws of defeat the first time you were on.
Yeah, I had no business winning that jacket.
That's all right. You know what? At the end of the day, you had one thing going for you. Nobody wanted us to cover up Katie Pavlich.
All right, well, tune in tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Fox News, and I'll be there on the show, so you better watch. And the Zioli Army is going to take over Red Bank, New Jersey on Saturday, June 22nd for Fela's Comedy Show. Jimmy, I really like you a lot, buddy. I like you more and more every time I talk to you. I tell you what, each time it gets better and better.
More than friends.
I mean, like, I'd hug you right now if we were in person.
Oh, but
instead, I'm going to go, yo, no, you didn't with your beach blonde hair and your fake lips.
Yo, fake lashes. I love when AOC, like, oh, baby girl. I love when AOC likes to get street, like she didn't grow up in the whitest cul-de-sac in America.
Right, she goes South Bronx versus she could be like, what, your Chappaquiddick or something?
AOC is an actual Karen. Like, at the end of the day, she is. She's a white cul-de-sac. Give me a break. Anyway, she's as street as Elizabeth Warren is Native American. That's exactly what it is. Good job.
See you tomorrow, brother. Love you.
See you on the TV. You're the best, babe. Bye-bye.
The Rich Zioli. Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so that is the big story of the day, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vinaria, that I will be live as Jimmy's guest tomorrow night, along with two attractive women. So I'll be the schlub in the middle on Fox Across America. On Fox 2 Saturday night. Dr. Mike Vinaria, VinariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VinariaDental.com. And I just mentioned we are going to be live at the Grand Hotel on Friday, June 21st. And if we can sell out Red Bank for Fela, we can get him down there with us to hang. It'll be a great hang. So mark your calendar now and book your room, because the Grand Hotel has wonderful midweek specials available in June, where the longer you stay, the more you get in resort credits. So the resort credits are wonderful. They give you money back to spend at the resort how you want to spend it. So you can have dinner and breakfast, lunch and dinner at Hemingway's restaurant, great food, fresh fish, steaks, cocktails, beautiful stuff. The outdoor pool bar, and it's a big outdoor heated pool. The bar is great. Beach concession stand. Because the Oceanfront Grand Hotel is oceanfront. Even the gift shop, which has wine and booze and has all kinds of great swag. And you can take your family on a whale-watching boat cruise as well. Just make your reservations today by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. But here's the thing. They're going to sell out in June. And since we're there Friday, June 21st, you should take your family there for the whole week and make a week out of it. Two pools, indoor and outdoor, and then stay and watch the show Friday night. And then we can head up to Red Bank together on Saturday. Be a lot of fun. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. It is my happy place. Make your reservation today, and I'll see you there Friday, June 21st.
Rich Scioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.